You are listening to TLRStation.com.
A Graceful Journey radio program is where you will hear powerful conversations, insights, and knowledge to help you when family caregiving calls. Host Lorna Scott brings a powerful combination of experience as a family caregiver and professional expertise as a coach and counselor. You will be empowered to meet demands, find balance, all while caring for yourself, that help you find grace, peace, hope, and joy in your caregiver journey.
Hi, and welcome to a Graceful Journey podcast powered by the Tenacious Living Network. My name is Lorna Scott, and I'm your host today. I'm the author of the best-selling book, Walking the Journey Together Alone, Finding Peace, Hope, and Joy in the Middle of And today, I'm going to be talking about five fickle phases, is what I've called them, of family caregiving. In some of the work that I've done recently, I've realized that there's different phases that family caregivers go through, and each one shows its own level of stress, and there's, you know, some tips and strategies that you might be able to use to help just keep a fairly clear path moving forward without getting overcome and with that overwhelm that comes with family caregiving. So what happens is that caregivers go through these phases, and some will go through only a couple of them. It isn't a chronological, logical thing that where you can say, okay, I'm going to go through this phase, and when this happens, I'm going to move. It's not like grade school where you're going to pass one grade and go to the other. Often it's a back and forth kind of thing, and one of the phases involves end of life. And for you, that may not be a phase that you get to for a long time. And if you do, it has nothing to do with what your caregiving role is about now. But it's important to know where you are in these phases, and that way you can pay attention to, you know, some of the danger signs that maybe it's time to get some help, it's time to take some changes, you've let your own self-care go, and also be able to say, okay, this is what's normal, and this is what's, you know, what people go through when life suddenly changes. So in these phases, we talk about that brand new phase is one of them, and it's that new to caregiving phase. And this is where you're just suddenly, most often, suddenly thrown into trying to navigate a medical system and figure out what's going on with the person that you love and care for, and, you know, making that subtle shift of incorporating that into your life so that it just becomes part of your everyday life and not a big crisis. And I say that knowing that the crisis will come and go, and that's part of the phases. So with the new to caregiving, these are, I'll get into this after the show a little bit, or after the break a little bit, is what happens at the beginning, what you can expect, what you might start to feel like, and, you know, maybe you can say whether you're in this phase or not, because these things may happen to you within just a couple of weeks, and it may take a few months for you to see some of these signs and symptoms or have these effects. Another phase that I've identified is called bump in the road, and this is where you know maybe not quite new to caregiving anymore. It seems to be part of a routine. It's part of your everyday life. You've made some adjustments, and then another medical crisis happens, or something else significant in that health of the person you care for comes up, and you might even feel like you're thrown back into that phase one again. But it's just a different point in the journey, because we think we're doing okay, and I hear over and over and over again from family caregivers, you know, I'm managing, I don't need help. And these two phases, when they blend and they go from one to another, what happens is that you just become used to what it is, and think that's, you know, now we're swimming along pretty good. You know, we've got the adjustments, or we've changed some habits, routines, and on we go. and then something suddenly happens. And that's just that bump in the road, and it's an adjustment. You want to know when that's happening in your life and in your caregiving journey, because it will require some, you know, reexamining the habits and looking at your own self-care. And there's some specific signs and symptoms that you can be aware of. And we will get into those after the break. The third phase is when the other shoe drops. And this is a bigger piece of the changes that can happen. And, you know, for example, this might be where when it becomes evident that maybe moving your parents into long-term care is what is necessary, or if it's a progressive disease like Parkinson's or multiple sclerosis, even with cancer, that, you know, now there's another step, there's a progression to something that's more permanent, that you're not going to overcome. It's another time where you might feel like you've been struck down at the knees. So it's not as much the bump in the road that's, you know, a change that you can make some shifts with. This is a really significant, almost could pull you back to feeling like you're brand new into that caregiving role and wanting to do research and figure things out. And I call it the other shoe drops because chances are once you're into that routine of life and adjusting to it, there's still some background, nibbling thoughts of worry of, you know, when is this going to get worse, or, you know, can this good stuff last forever? And, you can't kind of become complacent, but always have that little bit of an edge of wondering when things might be worse. Phase four is no turning back. And again, some of you may get to this point and others may not. This is a time where you find out that the progression is at a point where, you know, what you're facing today is likely the best it's ever going to be. They're not likely to be going through, you know, the weaving of phase two and three where things go okay and there's a little bump and you get through it, and maybe there's a big crisis and you get through it. Those days are over. You know that this is the best day it's going to be, and you're looking at terminal diagnosis of a disease like cancer, palliative care. It could be dementia, Alzheimer's, where it's got to a point where there is complete memory loss. They don't know who you are, and that maybe they've been in long-term care. It depends on your situation, but you know that things are not going to get better, and you start to prepare for end of life. And that is another phase of caregiving, and it becomes quite intense. And it's really key in this point in time to know what to look for in yourself, where you may be getting closer to breaking down and having that caregiver burnout. This is a time where you want to make sure you've got as much energy and good health as you can to get through the emotional part of this phase. And phase five, I call after caregiving. And this may seem a little odd to put into caregiving phases, but it's a really crucial point. It is something that happens for people with diseases that may get better or go into remission. Even the progressive diseases like Parkinson's and Alzheimer's, there's periods where things are going well. And I'm talking for these things more months than weeks or days. Cancer, it could be, you know, 2 or 3 years. For some people, I've heard 20 years in between the recurrent, you know, the end of the first treatment and the recurrence of cancer. So it can be years in between. And that's kind of the after caregiving part. Multiple sclerosis, there's talks of remission, especially with all the new drugs that are coming out and medications to be able to help people with MS. So what do you do when you're not into that intense time of medical appointments and regular, testing and visits, and that no longer is so predominant in your life, and you kind of get your life back? There are things to pay attention to there to see how you're coping and how you're moving forward with that. Because it is after caregiving, whether it's because the disease is in remission or there's something else that's supporting that person that brings some ease and relief for you, or it's because of they've passed away, it's a significant time to pay attention to you and what the effects of the previous years of caregiving may have had on you, and how you get back your own life to move forward again without those ups and downs and moving in between phase 1, 2, and 3 that likely have often happened for you. So when we come back from the break, I will get into more detail on what you can look for in each phase and some tips and strategies for you to just put in place to help you cope better, to help you get through these phases, build your foundation, and be able to live your life with some peace and some joy, some confidence, and with a commitment to yourself so that you get through each of these phases in as healthy a manner as possible with a great quality of life. You're listening to a Graceful Journey podcast powered by Tenacious Living Network. We'll be back after the break.
I didn't order this. Can I send it back? This is one of the powerful Caregiver Mastery signature talks that Lorna M. Scott can bring to your community group, support group, or workplace. She will inspire your audience to change how they think about family caregivers and empower them with key steps for creating a caregiving life by embracing the family caregiver role while putting work, life, family balance back into their lives. Stop the Madness is another popular talk, along with Staying Strong, How to Look After You. Contact Lorna at 403-548-8437 or Lorna at lornamscott.com to book her for your next conference, workshop, seminar, or keynote presentation.
Are you ready to change your perspective? Ready to live outside the box? Then our Fearless Life Workshop is for you. Carrie Ann Barron, owner of TLRStation.com, facilitates this workshop and helps you identify the thoughts, feelings, and actions that may be keeping you from living the life you want. Based on the best-selling book, Fearless Living by Rhonda Britton, the workshop is interactive, experiential, thought-provoking, practical, and fun. Visit tenaciousliving.org to find out more.
Welcome back to a Graceful Journey podcast powered by Tenacious Living Network. We have been talking about some specific phases of family caregiving. So I'll get into a lot more detail about what you can look for in each of these phases to know whether you're, you know, kind of what to expect, so it's not a surprise, and also so you know when you're starting to reach that danger zone and maybe wanting to, you know, talk to your doctor, get some other kind of professional help or some of the stress relief things that you do for yourself already. So in phase one, we're talking about being new to caregiving. And this is when you're brand new to caring and supporting your loved one. You've heard the diagnosis. Maybe you were in the doctor's office when that happened, or maybe your mom or your dad or your brother, sister, grandparent came home and told you that, you know, you've been to the doctor, you've been doing some tests, and there's, you know, now a diagnosis with Parkinson's, or, you know, maybe you've been faced with a disability, there's been an accident, or, you know, some kind of a brain injury. Those kinds of things that happen, and we're not prepared. Basically, and who wants to worry about that? We don't want to worry ahead of time, but all of a sudden, life changes. So some of the things you might notice in your own life are that you have an unquenchable thirst to learn everything about this life-changing diagnosis, that you're doing what me and many people have called Dr. Google. We, you know, get on Google and try to figure out what, you know, what is Parkinson's, what is Alzheimer's, what is, you know, cognitive impairment. And we try to find out all this information. And the problem with that is that some of it's good and some of it's not, and it can get really confusing. I mean, there's lots of information online, and yet there's a lot more about those diseases that isn't online, and for really good reasons that you want to talk to your doctor. It's not to say that you don't want to be aware of things, but be very careful about where you're looking for that information. There may be times that you just have this wave of paralysis that, you know, you're fearful and you worry. And I remember sitting at work and just not being able to move. And it only lasted maybe for 30 seconds or a minute. It was really weird when it happened. This is something that's normal, right, especially in those first few days or weeks where you just are overcome with a sense of paralysis. You may be wondering whether your family can handle this, whether you can handle this, how you're going to get through it and have thoughts about your own mortality. All of a sudden, we realize that we aren't going to live forever. And, you know, we may think in our head that we know that, but we don't always live that way. And then you start getting answers from the medical professionals. You start going to appointments. You hear different things. You might even have files and piles of paper from them. You get this treatment plan in place. You start to feel some relief because you can see things moving. I often talked about that medical system as being the hurry up and wait, because it seems like it takes forever to get an answer or a test, and then all of a sudden you're into it and they call and you've got 3 days notice and you're on the go again. And you likely feel that your life's going to be normal. You can kind of say, okay, they've got this under control. We're just going to go for it and things are going to be okay. You love your family member and you're really proud and willing to do whatever it takes to get to care for them. You just want them to be as healthy as they can, have the relief they can, and you want to help them have their life easier again. And eventually, you and your family have just adjusted to this new normal, and it just becomes part of your routine. It is just part of your everyday life, and you've made that adjustment. And then you might be faced with phase two, that bump in the road. And this is when you've got an additional medical crisis or, you know, the health condition temporarily worsens. And that brings up that worry and fear again. And you might even find that you've got some paralyzing thoughts that you had in phase one and have that same physical reaction. You've adjusted and you've kind of had this routine, but now there's some more disruption to it again. It may even impact you at work. Impact with your family and in your own community relationships, your volunteer work, your time with friends. You start to notice that you're turning down social invitations. You limit your time and your visits with family and friends. This is a time where you might start to really notice how overwhelmed you feel. And it might only show up every, you know, just for a minute every now and then, but there are feelings of, oh my goodness, here we go again. I don't know if I've got, you know, can get through this. And you notice that you're not accomplishing all the things that you were able to do before. And then things start to settle down again. You know, the routine comes back and, you know, you're back to some of the habits that supported you before. And life seems to be okay again. It might not be exactly how it was at the end of phase one, where you're just adjusting in the habits and it's a routine and part of an everyday life. And it might be there, but it might be at a different level. But it is just more predictable, a little bit more routine. And yet, because you've gone through this once, maybe twice, maybe more often, you still have that thought of the other shoe dropping. And that's one of the differences between getting through that phase and phase one, is that you've got the additional stress of that thought in the back of your mind of, okay, things are going okay now, but when's that going to change? Because I know it's going to. The other thing that you might notice is that you tell yourself and everyone else that you're managing, because you really believe that you are. You've got this figured out. You've been through it before. You don't need any help. You jump between fearing the worst and wondering and hoping for these better times to last longer. And you and your family, again, make those adjustments to new normal. It becomes part of your life, your routine. And even though there might even seem to be no routine, you just know that that's part of life and are accepting of it. And this is where some of the resignation starts to come in. You're starting to resign yourself that this is your life. This is how it's going to be now. Your obligation is to your loved one. And you say, I'm managing and I'm doing okay. And that's kind of the piece is that you might not be. You're getting worn down. This is wearing on you. And you think you're managing and can do it all by yourself. And really what you want to do is to ask for some help. And then the other shoe drops. So that worry and that nibble starts to happen. It pops down. You all of a sudden do have that shoe drop. There's a significant and worsening change. You know, it's having a big impact on your family and on you, on your schedule, and it's totally disrupting everything. This is where some of your symptoms and your health are likely to worsen. You feel exhausted. You're wondering when was the last time you had a restful and full night's sleep? You may experience any of the things that you had in phase one and two, where you've got the fear and worry, that paralysis, the feeling like your arms and legs are like lead and you can't move. There's more fear, worry, and guilt, and they almost overtake your mind. And you start to wonder and question whether you've really got what it takes to get through this. If you're working, you're likely at this point considering asking for flexibility in your schedule or working from home, or maybe even looking at having to decrease some of your hours at work and spend more time caring for your loved one. You continually push down your feelings, and it feels hard to do this, but you do. You just want to keep squashing them and pushing them down, and it's kind of like that beach ball. You try to hold it underwater, but eventually they will pop up. You might even start to feel like you're cracking under the pressure. And that you try to stuff. And that's when that beach ball that you've been holding under will just start to pop up. And you might have a day where you cry all day or you just feel like you want to run away. And then that scares you and you feel guilty, and that kind of gets into a vicious cycle. You have your pride and your love and that commitment to caring for your loved one that was so predominant in phase one and two. And it's now moved to feeling like it's an obligation, there is that resignation, and that there's just way too many demands on your time, energy, and life. Phase four is where there's no turning back. And this is a transition in knowing your loved one won't be better. There may still be some good days, but generally speaking, the long-term outlook is that the good days are going to rapidly decrease and the health of your loved one will be declining. It may happen rapidly, or it may happen over weeks or months or years even. And this is a phase that's common for families impacted by progressive diseases like MS, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, dementia, cancer, ALS. And this is where those feelings of fear and worry and guilt really become overwhelming, and they almost become part of your life. And it can happen even before your loved one passes away. And we call it anticipatory grief. You're really mourning the loss of your loved one when they haven't passed on yet. And that's really normal. Sometimes you have that thought of, I just wish it would all end. You know, you see them suffering, you see the decline in your health, and you don't want to wish that they're you're going to miss them, and it's heartbreaking. And yet it gets so tiring and overwhelming. You just wish that it would end. And you feel guilty for that. The guilt really comes up at this point because maybe you're going to have to look at moving your loved one into a long-term care, or you because of those thoughts of wishing it would just end, you feel guilty. You are overcome with guilt that sometimes it's that survivor's guilt that you're, you know, healthy and this isn't fair. If you notice the guilt coming, just know that that is really normal. That feeling of anticipatory loss and grief that I mentioned, and this is especially with the cognitive impairment that comes with dementia and Alzheimer's or some brain injury and memory loss, and it it is. We lose the person before we lose their body. And in some cases, the pendulum actually swings from when things are better than ever expected to this sudden medical crisis. And you wonder if this will be the last medical crisis your loved one will face because, you know, you've been through this before and they've always got better. And so there's always that thought that, okay, maybe they're wrong. Maybe this time they will get better. And you have that little glimmer of hope. That overwhelm, you just get focused on, you know, I just got to get through today. And you don't really worry about what tomorrow may bring. You believe you're managing fine. And when asked, so pay attention. If somebody says, how are you doing? You say, I'm doing okay. And they say, do you need some help? You're going to say, no, I don't need it. And that is actually a sign that you're not doing okay. It is not normal to do all of this alone. So you want to be able to notice when you're telling people you're okay, because that's actually a sign that you want to get some help. At this point in this phase, you may also be talking with your loved one about their end-of-life care. They're maybe ready to talk about pre-planning a funeral and some estate planning. And this is uncomfortable often for many caregivers because they see it as a sign that they're giving up and they feel like they've let the other person down. And this is far from the truth. Really, what can happen is that you can do this and set it aside, and it relieves a lot of stress and worry by having it done ahead of time. So take the time to do that. Phase five is the after caregiving, and it can take two forms. You might go through this phase after, you know, the long rehabilitating treatment program if there's been a trauma injury and maybe disability, and now they're back to full life. Maybe they've done their initial cancer treatment. There's no evidence of disease, and they don't require that intense care from you. Basically, life goes pretty much back as it was normal, and your caregiving phase ends then. The other time that caregiving ends is after the death of your loved one. So in in after caregiving, you may feel a loss of connection with colleagues and extended family and some friends because those relationships were interrupted, some concentration and memory problems. You can feel quite exhausted, and that may seem odd because you think that you don't have all these things to do, so how could you be so tired? But really what it is your body in a recovery mode from the intense stress of caregiving. And it's a different type of exhaustion than what you had in the other phases, but it is exhaustion. You may feel like you're sleeping a lot. You might feel some disconnection from the world in general, not aware of some of the major world events. You might not even be aware of some of the things that have happened within your own family and extended family when you were in that high intensity time of caregiving. You may feel a great deal of relief that your loved one is no longer suffering, and then again some guilt about feeling that way. And you may feel that relief about not having to caregive anymore. And please remember, the grief takes many forms. There is no right or wrong way to do grief. It is how it works for you. And you may feel like you're just going through the motions of everyday life. There may not feel like a lot of emotion or joy. And again, that's a bit of the recovery. So these lists aren't complete or exhaustive. There's things that I've not put on the list that I may have missed that you're experiencing. Some things on the list that you've never experienced. But what I describe is kind of a general overview of what I've seen when working with caregivers. And I believe that it's important to know where you're at in the phases of the caregiving journey so you know what to expect and you know when to ask for help. And really, what I want to say is that the time to ask for help is right from the beginning. When you are a brand new caregiver, that is the time to find out more about what's going to happen with you and the impact of caregiving on you, but also how you can balance that role of doing these extra things that we call caregiving and being that family member, because that really is who you are right off the bat. I'm interested in finding out more about where you think you're at in those phases. What symptoms or signs are you seeing from the list that I've talked about? And let's see if there's a way that I can help and support you, especially if you're new to caregiving or if you're feeling totally lost. I can take all those signs and symptoms, give you some strategies to help you get through this time and do it so that you have a good quality of life as well as the person that you're caring for, that both of you together have, you know, the best quality of life that you can have. So I look forward to hearing your comments and your questions. You can email me at Lorna@thecaregiverslighthouse.com. You can always check out my website at www.thecaregiverslighthouse.com and keep your eyes open for an upcoming online course. It's been a pleasure sharing these five phases with you, and I look forward to our next podcast. You've been listening to A Graceful Journey podcast powered by Tenacious Living Network. May you find peace, hope, and joy in every day.
Thank you for joining us on A Graceful Journey. Interested in learning more about caregiver mastery? An empowering way to meet demands, find balance, all while caring for yourself, that help you find grace, peace, hope, and joy in your journey? Then Lorna M. Scott would love to connect with you. Contact her at lorna@lornamscott.com. We will see you next week, same day and time.